planner Diane von Furstenberg said, "The secret is to enjoy being you." And my guest today will help us make a shift to discover our unique Y-O-U. Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, March 1st, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, and thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't believe March 1st is already here. Wow. Those first 2 months went by very fast, and we're going to have a wonderful show for you today. We love hearing from you, so you can call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710, or you can also email us here with your questions at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. Let me give you those 10 magical digits again, 347-857-2710. Well, today we are going to learn to create health, harmony, and prosperity for your home and office with my special guest today. She blends the intuitive and architectural design principles of feng shui with over two decades of real estate experience. And if you just apply these simple adjustments, doors will open to help you reach your greatest potential. Well, I'm always looking for my greatest potential, so I'll hope you'll join me in welcoming feng shui expert Beverly Weinberger. Hi, Beverly. Welcome.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
I'm ready for some potential.
Good. Me too. yes, always looking for that.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm very excited that you're going to be sharing some feng shui principles with us. And let me ask you if you would define, what is feng shui?
Feng shui is the Chinese art of placement. And this ancient science is based on 3,000 years of observation and practical application of the way energy interacts between individuals and the environment. And what I have found in all the consultations and audits that I've done over the years, that anytime you alter your physical space in which we live and work, it creates a powerful generator of change. And feng shui now is really not exclusive to the Orient, but it's very recognized in the West and through successful applications. And there's a lot of schools of feng shui and a lot of practitioners, and it seems like we, as a Western culture, have embraced it. So I was or still am a real estate broker, and that's how I was introduced to it when I was sitting as an on-site salesperson, and somebody asked me what was the feng shui of the property. So that's how I got motivated and started directing my energies to learning and practicing the art.
Yes, it is an art. There's a lot of information to be learned about that. So in, you know, speaking about your home, what should we look for when we buy a home as far as feng shui principles?
Oh, boy, there's a lot, and I think there is a tenet in feng shui that which is beautiful or we consider to be beautiful is good feng shui. And so sometimes it's in the eye of the beholder. That's kind of the beginning point. So when you locate a home that you think you would like, you can also look for symmetry in the house. You can look for a beautiful neighborhood. It doesn't have to be an expensive neighborhood, but things where things are in order, because I feel like we're always attracted to, or at least I have found in my real estate, that people want the best, and that's what feng shui does. However, something that I have observed in feng shui are, why are some houses better than the other? Why do people thrive, and why in other homes do they not do so well? And that's where we might use these principles to investigate.
I find it interesting also that I think from what I've experienced from feng shui is that what you want in your life, your home, I think your home reflects a lot of who we are. And if you want success in your life, then your home needs to reflect that, meaning that you're in charge of your life, where things are situated in a room in your office where you do business.
Yes, that's true. In fact, the feng shui practitioner can locate the corresponding areas in your environment that maybe would relate to your career, finances, relationships, family, and health. And potential problems can be identified and then corrected so the natural flow of energy or qi can circulate and nourish those areas.
Well, you know, it's so interesting when I asked you about what do you look for in a home, and not having as much experience about feng shui, but I know that it's an energy and we are all energy. And so if you go into an open house, which I often enjoy doing, just seeing a layout of a house or other decorative ideas, that if the house doesn't flow, I can feel it, that there's an energy. It's not really a good or bad energy, but it just doesn't flow. So it's just not comfortable.
And I also would say that certain houses are actually better for certain kinds of energies because we, as the human, bring in that part of the Trinity, the human luck. We carry an energy field with us, and certain houses will enhance that, certain houses will not. And that's another thing to look at too. But in my experience, sometimes based on your life path or your destiny per se, sometimes you find yourself attracted to certain configurations, certain energies, and that's how you live your life.
But those energies may not necessarily be the healthiest choice for you, but that's familiar.
That is correct. And sometimes a customer might call, especially in the business, they want to increase their cash flow, and sometimes it's a very simple cure. And a lot of feng shui is essentially common sense, design sense, color sense, how to use lighting properly. What I, you know, knowing that I would be doing this program, I kind of compiled some of the what I would call the do's and the don'ts, if you're interested.
Oh, wonderful. Give us some of those.
Okay, do's and don'ts. This, first of all, anything that I am sharing with you, I've either experienced myself or experimented with. One of the culprits of feng shui is anything that's leaky, energetic leaks, or a simple water leak. In feng shui, water is considered wealth or your finances or your resources. So anytime you find yourself having a leak in the house, even if it's a very slow leak, if you locate the area that corresponds to, like be it your career or your health, and you fix that very simple leak, sometimes the problem clears up. It's interesting how that works. And again, logically, common sense, you would be saving money if you fixed your leaks. Another thing that I know are squeaky doors, squeaky sliders, squeaky entry doors. That refers to irritations that we experience. And again, going back to where that door is squeaking or it's not flowing properly, especially if it's located in one of the areas that is important, like your career or your health, it seems like there's an obstruction there. That would be something very simple. Another thing is clutter control. Anything that obstructs pathways, or in our case, we would equate the house to a human, it's like the artery and the flow. Again, the obstruction stops us from maybe being all that we can be. It's just interesting how all of that corresponds. And also, another big culprit in feng shui is something the environmental things like do not sleep where there's an electric service coming in. And a lot of people might not even know where they're sleeping. EMFs would be LED lighting, fans, TVs. That's not for a bedroom, that's really not the place to have those. Mm-hmm. It's best to turn those down. And I think we've heard that before from other schools of thought. But I know in my feng shui, a lot of times I do use a Gauss meter, and that will tell me where if there's high EMFs being emanated in the property. And then I can also feel them, too, just by standing in the room. I'm very sensitive to those energies.
Well, I, on the third point that you made about clutter control, it's very interesting. I was very fortunate to have, we did some work together, and you helped me turn my office around a little bit, and my desk is now, I am facing a door, and I must say, as we've spoken about this, that it is empowering to face the door, and you are ready to start something new. But this clutter control, I think I really asked for it way too much. Because
yes.
it's been a challenge to, I got a rush. You know, it's as if I had plugged the dam, and when I turned my desk around, the dam became unplugged, and everything started to flow, which
yes,
is not not a bad
thing. You're in control of the room, too.
What's that?
My suggestion of you changing the position of the desk is that you could see the door, so therefore you're in control of the room, and then your back is supported by not only your chair, it's also supported by the wall behind you. And psychologically, it's just a better place to be. There's no surprises, no. And then you have the field of vision where, indeed, you're in control. I know over the years I've helped a lot of managers, and just that simple act of moving the desk really does make a difference.
Oh, definitely. And I guess I want to impart on our listeners that these principles or cures are simple to do, that it doesn't necessarily, it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to do something in your home to affect the change.
Exactly. And that's really the beginning. Sometimes when you make one change, then that somehow that creates another change. And there's a very spontaneous effect.
It is, yeah.
It's like the stone in the water has all the rings that circulate out.
Yes, I think that's what I noticed, that because of my position of maybe blocking energy, and now I've made a switch, I'm allowing that energy to flow through, that I didn't know how many years I was blocking that energy. There was, you know, it's like a chatty Cathy. You can't stop the flow.
Exactly. And a lot of it is timing. Sometimes we're not ready for a change, and then we are, and then we bring in what we need to help us. And, well, I'll let you ask another question.
No, I mean, feel free to continue. But I think it's interesting because this is about change, and I think we either say to ourselves we are not happy with the lifestyle that we're experiencing at the moment. So I think it all comes down to the shift, the change comes from us, you know, a change of attitude, of how we look at life, and like you said, change is a little funky for most of us. But if you want your life to go in a different direction, then you have to go through the change.
Yes, and again, also like getting back to the do's and don'ts, to have a very good restorative sleep is very important for everybody, and some bedrooms just don't have that. Once I did a feng shui consultation for a woman who in her bedroom was surrounded by mirrors on the ceiling, mirrors on the sides, mirrors on the wall, and she couldn't figure out why she couldn't sleep. There was just too much light and reflection, so it would be costly to remove all those mirrors because it was a decorator's dream house. And all we did was at night she would just drape the mirrors. And she said that made a huge difference. And, again, that would be a simple cure or remedy.
So what are how do we find a restorative sleep? What are some of the tips that we need to use in our bedroom?
Okay, the bedroom, it's best to sleep with a headboard. If you don't have a headboard, it's have the wall, a solid wall behind you, as opposed to sleeping with a window behind you. We want the solid for the support. We don't want a lot of LEDs. We don't want the TV on, the computer on. And if they're in your room, I have a TV and I have it in a drawer and I just close it up and I make the room as dark as possible. That helps for me. However, I know my house and I know that my bedroom is a good location, but sometimes people are really not sleeping in the right bedroom because the energies that are coming into that room are much more active. They're not peaceful, restful energies. But again, just getting back to not having bright colors, mirrors, lights. Actually, I have heard some people say it's best not even to have plants in the bedroom, too.
Really? Why?
Yes.
I would think that would, life.
Right. I have heard, that's a different school of thought. And what I would say to someone is experiment with that. If it makes a difference, if you remove something and it makes a difference, then go with that. But sometimes it can be very neutral. Because what you want is just a very peaceful, quiet space.
Yeah, I believe that. We have been talking, and the switchboard has gone crazy here, Beverly, because
good.
You are just sharing so much wonderful information. Let's see who our caller is today and if they would like to ask a question.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the line with Beverly and Lauren. Would you like to ask a question? Oh, I think perhaps this person would just rather listen to your knowledge than chat with us today, which is fine and dandy to do that. So let's get back to what we're talking about. How would you, what's one way to get started with feng shui? I know you do consultations and... For our listeners that are around the country, they don't have to be right in your neighborhood. You can do a remote reading, and you also use astrology. You do someone's chart to figure out.
I do.
So how do we get started?
Okay, you mean
with you, like somebody wanting to discover, wow, my career isn't working the way I would like it to be, or I'm having difficulty in my relationship, and maybe I've decided I need to have a shift in my life, and the principles of feng shui, it's something that resonates with this particular person, so they want to get started. What's the first step?
Okay, well, obviously, to contact me, and I think you have the numbers or my email address, but once we make that initial or have the first conversation, what I ask you is, especially if it's a remote or off-site, for you to send me any floor plans you have or any drawings of the floor plans and pictures. And with the technology today, I can use Google Earth and I can go to city and county records, and a lot of times I can just get, believe it or not, a diagram of the inside of a house. And then I would ask you to verify the compass direction, and I can also get that on Google Earth. And that's the beginning of me setting up the chart of the house. Then I also ask for your birth information, and I get your chart and the house chart, and then try to synchronize those for the best results. The kind of feng shui, I've done more of the intuitive feng shui, but I also do the traditional, which is the compass school that's taking a reading with compass, and also figuring out for the time period, it's called time-space feng shui, and it's based on the shifting of energies every 20 years. And we work a lot with the magnetic energies. I hope I'm not getting too complicated here.
No, because, 2012 is a year of of a big shift. So maybe what you're about to say will enlighten a lot of us about this.
Yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm doing the natal chart of the house and the natal chart of the occupant, synchronizing it and applying the feng shui principles. And sometimes we just work on a couple issues. And sometimes when those are solved, other things kind of fall into place. It could, and sometimes the remedies, and like as your case, was as simple as moving the desk. And, there is never the perfect house, but a person using feng shui can make things better. Or you can actually enhance it. I would prefer to say it's an enhancement of the energies. So that would be a simple way to say, with today's technology, I can certainly do a off-site or remote. And a lot of times, because of my abilities or my sensitivity, I oftentimes do a meditation before, and sometimes I get information.
You do. You are so right on. It's if you're right next door. And I think I don't mind sharing my own experience, but I think that through this whole feng shui process, you really learn about yourself. It's another platform from which you can learn more about you or get insight into who you are, why you behave the way you do, the choices you make, etc.
Yes, and knowing too that there is, in feng shui, just like our house is static, but the energies I'm working with are always in flux and always moving. So you try to capture those. In other words, you gather the energy for your benefit. I mean, the true meaning of feng shui is water and wind. And wind carries the currents. And the water is what we want to gather. Water is the metaphor for resources and energy. And again, that's just the school of feng shui that I have learned.
Well, in doing my due diligence, before we went on air today, just looking at feng shui, and there's a lot of schooling, a lot of principles of it, of feng shui. There's a lot to know about, the science of it, the background of it, and how it can really affect your life and what it really is all about. I find it fascinating because I'm always wanting to find out. There's a block. What do we need to do to remove the wall or remove the block? And so I think feng shui is one of those principles that is so beneficial.
Yes, it is. And you can enhance or you can remove. You know, it can be just as simple as moving a piece of furniture or removing a color that's not appropriate for those energies. You actually have to be fairly careful with the color red, and red represents fire. And I know a lot of people, when they think of feng shui, they think of the color red because that is a lucky color. But in the school that I know, you have to be careful with the application of that color. In other words, I don't think this would be another common sense thing. If a person were sleeping, they probably wouldn't get a very good night's sleep if they were sleeping in a bedroom that had a lot of red energy, because that's fire energy. That's action, meaning a touch for decoration, fine, but I don't think a person would sleep well in orange, red sheets.
No, I just got a big ouch when you said that.
Yes. Okay, and that's another thing, and I know that we can incorporate the color into the scheme in the decoration, the fabrics, the wall colors are important, the floor colors are important, also the height of the ceiling. There's just a lot to it, and every home is different. The principles are the same, but they're adjusted to the home and also to the person, too.
Yeah. So in your many years of experience of doing this, what have you learned is the most significant or positive change you've witnessed for your clients using the feng shui principles?
Okay. I've worked with a lot of business people, and a lot of them, or at least the feedback that I have gotten, is that maybe their cash flow is better. Or I have also gotten some feedback relating to relationships, especially husband and wife relationship. That would be something that maybe I made a difference in. I've worked with a lot of people who have had illness, too. And then, you know, in investigating, we are finding, you know, the EMF fields, these people are sleeping on an electric service. Below the bedroom or on the back of their head, there's like a pool service, or there's all the electrical box for the whole house. And that has to do with the Hertz. It's too much for the body, and over time it does erode your health.
Wow, see, and so you're a detective to some degree.
Yes, I am. And it's interesting. I mean, you have to interview people and kind of delve into all these things that might seem not so significant, but indeed they are.
Absolutely. I think most of the answers that we are looking for in our lives are really right in front of us, meaning
yes,
that they're in your home and relationships are rarely outside of ourselves, but it's how we, our lifestyle, the foods we eat, they all play a role on our quality of life.
Yes, I would agree. And also, you know, the front door is very important in feng shui, too. That's where the energy enters the home. That's where you enter the home. And to have a front door that is beautiful, spacious, even if it's small, you want to have the space. You don't want a bunch of shoes, clothes, clutter. I mean, that just sets you up for failure. Come on, you know.
Ooh,
I trip it.
Scratch that. Don't want that F word around. We seem to have another caller. Let's see. We have just a few minutes left. If they would like to ask a question.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air with Lauren and Beverly.
Hello. My name is Stephanie, and Beverly has shared some stories with me in the past that I think are fascinating, of some of her successes. So I just wanted to remind her of when she was invited to redo an office for a man who was being given a new office, and the office of the previous occupant had furniture situated in such a way that Beverly was immediately able to see by the placement of these pieces of furniture how terrible things had happened to the previous person who occupied that space. I wondered if Beverly could remember that story, and I just thought it was fascinating.
Wow.
Hi, Stephanie. I don't know if I actually remember that story.
Oh, really? That's okay. That was just, I just remember that the man hired you, and you saw the office you were going to be redoing for him, and all the furniture was positioned in such a way that the aimed at his chair, remember?
Aimed at his chair and aimed at his head. It was almost like all the bookcases were situated in a way that when you sat in his chair, you felt like there could be a landslide any moment. And it really put you in a vulnerable situation. Now I remember that. So it was just as simple as really moving the bookcases, switching the desk around, getting some huge plan out of the way with sharp little, projectiles on it, like a cactus, away from his desk, too, because it was almost like symbolically he was being bombarded by the books, by the plants. So we moved him out of that particular energy field. We moved out the cactus, put the bookshelves along a wall, and then opened up his space, and that really did change it. In fact, he got promoted.
We saved his life, Beverly.
changed his life, I know. So, yes, thank you for reminding me. But, yes, now I remember.
Well, and then, too, something about, you were talking about front doors, and I was reminded of someone who was, she and her husband were both financially suffering terribly, and someone said, went to their house and said, oh, my God, you've got all these plants in front of your front door. Move them immediately and paint your door red. And so she picked up all these potted plants, moved them 10 feet away from her front door, and was slapping a coat of red paint on the door, and the phone rang, and it was a job, and neither one had worked for 6 months to that point.
There are amazing stories like that. Just because we are affected, you know, everything carries a vibration. And apparently the vibration of the plants and the clutter was an obstruction to them. And when it was removed, lo and behold, there comes a shift.
Well, would even one plant by a door be an interference?
No, that wouldn't be an interference. We're talking more of like jungles, like a forest of plants. Plants are very nice, but if they create an obstruction, or and especially if they're the kind that are have spines or cactus-like, that particularly isn't, let's just say that's not considered, it's considered that the plants are assaulting. And then the other version would be you could use those for protection, too.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, like wonderful. Well, this is just a lovely, I'm so glad we had this lovely caller at the end of our half hour, and our time, unfortunately, has drifted by so quickly, but I want to give out your contact information, Beverly, so people can contact you and have all these wonderful things that happen to them in their lives. So if you want to reach Beverly by phone, you can call her at 727-455-9295 or email Beverly at beverly@tampabay.rr.com. Beverly, I don't know. You'll have to come back on the show again and talk some more feng shui and other stuff. You're fascinating.
Well, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for listening today. And please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, as my guest will be one of our show's most popular guest, celebrity clairvoyant and intuitive, Cindy Goldenberg. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. And we're going to leave you with Flight of the Marnix by Keith Chagall.